Blog Talk Radio.
Harambe, and welcome to the Our Common Ground celebration of the 2009 Kwanzaa season. Tonight, Umoja, Unity, celebrating the Nguza Saba. On this Kwanzaa, we affirm the struggle of a people and the survival of a people. We embrace family, community, a renewed spirit. I'm Janice Graham. Thanks for joining us. And we thank you for being here with us. Harambe, and welcome to the 2009 Kwanzaa season. This is the first night of Kwanzaa, and we are so glad to have each one of you with us here to begin the Kwanzaa season. For those of you who do not know, you are listening to Our Common Ground, and Kwanzaa is a very, very important part of how we live out, affirm, and celebrate African Americans in this country. Tonight what we're going to do is to give you an idea about the kinds of things that are involved in the celebration of Kwanzaa. And we hope that you will stay with us. We're going to be talking a little about the history, but especially about one part of the Kwanzaa celebration, and that is the confirmation and the affirmation of our character and our spirit, renewing and recalling the bridges that take us safely across. For those of you who do not know, you certainly can log on to the Our Common Ground Resource Center, which is located at kwanzaa-talk.ning.com. And you can also go to the official website of Kwanzaa, which is www.theofficialkwanzaa website, located, set up by the founder of Kwanzaa. We're having a tough time here trying to get connected and to see what you're saying. For those of you who are new to our common ground, you certainly can come to blogtalkradio.com/OCG and join in the conversation in our chat room. We are able to view the chat room and talk with you as well as really inspire and initiate good conversations. For those of you who have never celebrated Kwanzaa, we want to tell you that one of the first things that you do in celebrating Kwanzaa, as you greet brothers and sisters, as you go about your day, is to say to them Harambe, which is a Swahili word for greetings and love extended to you. And then the greeting is generally to say Habari Gani, which means how goes it? And upon that greeting, the responder generally gives you the day of the Kwanzaa season. There are 7 days in the Kwanzaa season, and the celebration begins on December 26th and goes through the 1st of January. Kwanzaa is an African-American and Pan-African holiday which celebrates family, community, and culture. Its origins are in the first harvest celebrations of Africa, from which it takes its name. The name Kwanzaa is derived from the phrase Matunda ya Kwanzaa. Matunda ya Kwanzaa means first fruits in Swahili. It is a Pan-African language, which is the most widely spoken language in Africa. The first, we generally refer to Kwanzaa as the first fruits celebration, and as recorded in African history as far back as ancient Egypt and Nubia, and appear in ancient and modern times and other classical African civilizations as Ashanti Land and Yorubaland. These celebrations are also found in ancient and modern times among societies as large as empires. It is indeed a big celebration which goes back as far as the Zulu or Swaziland. Our smaller societies and groups like the Matabele, Thanda, and Lovdu, all of southeastern Africa. But what we want to do tonight here at Our Common Ground is celebrate Kwanzaa and to meditate and to examine how we can make Kwanzaa and its richness and fullness enlighten, encourage, and empower our lives. So we're going to be concentrating on the 7 principles that come with Kwanzaa, and they are called the Nguza Saba. And if you do nothing more tonight, that is to think about the principles that govern the spirit of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa really is a time of gathering of our people to reaffirm the bonds between them and between us, I should say. It is a time of special reverence for the Creator and creation in thanks and respect for the blessings and bountifulness that we enjoy in our lives. It is a time for commemoration of the past in pursuit of its lessons. It is a time of recommitment to our highest cultural ideals and our ongoing effort to always bring forth the best of African culture, thought, and practice into our lives. And it is a time for celebration of the good of life and of existence itself, the good of family, community, and culture, the good of the awesome and the ordinary. In a word, Kwanzaa is about the good of the divine, the natural, the social, and the spiritual. There is a central place in your home for Kwanzaa, and the core message and meaning of Kwanzaa should be found in its roots as a rightful and joyous celebration of family, community, and culture. What we're going to do right now is to look at some of the words, just an explanation from Dr. Milana Coringa, who was the first to bring Kwanzaa to us, and what he invites us to do in celebration of Kwanzaa.
I step the longest march. Can be one, can be one. Many stones to form an arch. Singly none, singly none. And by union what we
Kwanzaa is a Pan-African and African-American holiday that is a celebration of family, community, and culture. It is often organized around seven fundamental principles, and is a seven-day holiday that begins from December the 26th and goes through January 1st. And it's 7 days to, in fact, teach the seven principles, okay, which are in Swahili and then in English: Umoja, unity; Kujichagulia, self-determination; Ujima, collective work and responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics; Nia, purpose; Kuumba, creativity; and Imani, faith. And so I created Kwanzaa for three basic reasons. First, to reaffirm our rootedness in African culture. Because even though we are African people, due to the Holocaust of enslavement, we were lifted out of our own history and made a footnote and forgotten casualty in European history. And so the struggle we were waging, as Cabral said, is to return to our history and to use it to enrich and expand our lives. Secondly, I have created Kwanzaa in order to give us a time when we as African people all over the world could come together, reaffirm the bonds between us, and meditate on the meaning and awesome responsibility of being African in the world. And certainly it has flowered because of that, because if you look at how it has grown, over 28 million people celebrate this holiday on every continent in the world, throughout the world African community. And the third reason I created Kwanzaa was to introduce and reinforce the importance of African culture and African communitarian values. And by communitarian values, I mean values that stress and strengthen family, community, and culture. These are our strengths. And at the hub and hinge on which this holiday turns, of course, and the central values are the Nguzo Saba, which we said earlier are Umoja, unity; Kujichagulia, self-determination; Ujima, collective work and responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics; Nia, purpose; Kuumba, creativity.
Step by step the long
step by step the long
and by union what we can be accomplished if drops of water turn a mill. Singly none, singly none.
And it is this ancient, fertile, and constantly cultivated sense of culture and history
where we find ourselves in this 2009 flood season.
Conduit was conceived, created, and introduced to the African community, and it was an audacious act of self-determination, a cultural creation that is really rooted in and rose out of the wish and will of the people who saw its deep meaning.
World-encompassing in reaching highly relevant critical issues of our time. And I want to say to all of the people who have joined us in our chat room, Information Man and Nancy, O'Henry, Stephen C., and Yard Jockey, thank you so much for being with us here tonight at our common ground. It's very hard, I'm finding it very hard to celebrate Kwanzaa without dance and without music. You all know how I feel about this talk radio. But one of the first things that I want to do is to give you a real sense of what Kwanzaa is all about, how deeply rooted our struggle and our building of spirit and character is in what we celebrate in Kwanzaa. I want to say that our blessings and our wishes for a wonderful and joyous Kwanzaa season for Dr. Maulana Karinga, who created Kwanzaa in 1966. He's a professor of studies at California State University. It is important to note to you, for those of you who do not celebrate Kwanzaa, that this is a cultural holiday. It's not a religious one. And it is available to and practiced by Africans of all religious faiths who come together based on the rich, ancient, and varied common ground of their Africanness. It is also celebrated, and Kwanzaa festivities are participated by many, many people as an African-American and Pan-African holiday. This holiday is celebrated by millions throughout the world. Kwanzaa brings this a cultural message which speaks to the best of what it means to be African and human in the fullest sense. If for those of you who have been with us on many programs, you will remember when we had Dr. Asante from University of Pennsylvania, we talked about how profound the significance of Kwanzaa is for our community. Kwanzaa was created to introduce and reinforce the Nguza Saba, the seven principles. These principles of community and African value are Umoja, which means unity, Kukijakalia, which means self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujama, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kuumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. We are stressing the Nguza Saba as an emphasis on the importance of African communitarian values in general, which community and culture, and speak to the best of what it means to be African and human in the fullest sense. And I believe that Kwanzaa was conceived as a fundamental and important way to introduce, reinforce these values. Given the rapid growth of Kwanzaa, we and the parallel expanded discussion of it and related issues, the central interest of Kwanzaa is community and family.
young women, young men of color, come up from the gloom of national neglect. You have already been paid for. Come out of the shadow of irrational prejudices. You owe no racial debt to history. The blood of our bodies and the prayers of our souls have bought for you a future without shame, bright beyond the telling of.
Kwanzaa means access. It means access to yourself. It means access to your people.
Kwanzaa is like renewing your annual membership to community, to your family, to your culture, and most importantly, to yourself.
Kwanzaa is expressed throughout the world now by people of African heritage who want to have that cultural connectiveness.
These are principles of what we're supposed to be doing 365, you know what I mean, and how we treat each other and how we look at the world.
We did not petition or ask for permission to celebrate. We did it by kujijakulia, self-determination. We determined that this was good for us. We determined that we were going to celebrate.
Don't know their history, they don't know where they came from, definitely can't figure out where they're going.
That is our task, you know, to know our past and honor it, and to imagine our good future and to forge it.
Through Kwanzaa and through the seven principles, you teach the next generation to elevate themselves.
It's your world. It's time to tell the world how you feel about this world and what you're going to do for yourself. It's really up to you to save your own self.
You are the best we have. You are all we have. You are what we have become. It is time to remember.
It is not merely a holiday. It is a statement about a people, where they were, where they were going, and where they continue to go.
What we are doing is celebrating the opening of the season of Kwanzaa here at our common ground, and thank you all for being with us. And I understand that some people are indicating to me that there may be a volume problem in the chat room. Some people are saying that they cannot hear, and we're trying to fix that as best as we can. Working on it right now, Chicago Stepper, and O'Henry is saying that the volume is better, and we're working with our mixer here to try to make sure that people are not having any problems. Harambe, Habari Ghani, Umoja, and for those of you who have never celebrated Kwanzaa and don't understand the fundamentals, we're trying to bring you there because the holiday engages us in our history and in our living cultural traditions. Our theme tonight really is, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the West African concept. Of Namo. Namo is a Swahili word, another Swahili word, which means making the word flesh. India DeClaire just came in and she says she's having a problem hearing me as well. I'm not sure what the problem is. And we're trying to fix it as best we can. How is that? Is that better for you, India DeClaire? Miss India DeClaire of the India DeClaire Show is with us tonight. And I'm trying to turn up the microphone and as best I can. I'm not sure if I'm pushing the thing to the in the right direction. But Harambe, and I'm really excited about Kwanzaa this year because so many people really starting to get to the whole notion that it is about our spirit. It is very much about our spirit. It is about our renewal. It is about our possibility. It is about our potential as a people, and looking at how our history has formed both our capacity for survival as well as our capacity to set the tone, to be the character building in the places where we are, to have the ability to claim our place on this earth. And so I'm wondering if I'm really worried about this volume thing. Are people not hearing me now? You know that commercial? Can you hear me now? See, Blog Talk Radio really messes me up. It takes me away from being able to really concentrate on what I'm doing. I do want to hear. I don't want to be talking to myself. And India Declare is indicating she's barely hearing me above a whisper. And I have every device that I can see all the way up to 100%. India, let me know right now in the chat room whether or not you can hear me. I did know that I had some problems. I have my volume all the way up to my speakers and headphone are at 100%. So it must be something somewhere. And what I'm going to do is let you check out one more segment about Kwanzaa for those that have just joined us. And at the 9:30 hour, we're going to be taking your calls, and we're going to be talking to some people callers who are calling in to talk about the concept of the seven principles and how we can form them to be a living, breathing element, the core of who we are.
Umoja, unity. Kujijakalia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujama, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kuumba, creativity. Imani, faith. May you and the world be filled with divine purpose and a renewed heart for peace, justice, and spiritual prosperity. May this Kwanzaa bring you a year filled with enough and the spirit of the true meaning, the Inguza Saba. Habari Gani, Harambe, Ashe.
Here at our common ground. Ms. India Declare, are you all set on your volume? I'm doing all kinds of things to make sure that you are hearing us. And my sister, we welcome you here, and we thank you. You know, I want to give a special thanks to India Declare because she really has lived out spirit of the of one of the concepts, especially Nia, having purpose, and Kujijakalia, self-determination in making sure that all of us continue this dialogue, this community town meeting on the air, especially at the demise of U.S. Talk Network. where she has been provided the leadership for our time of gathering and our time of being with each other, sharing and sitting at the at a very, very critical moment, a moment in our community life, having this year doing this past year has been the year in the annals of Kwanzaa celebration, the year of Umoja. 2009 will be the year of Kujijakalia, and we want to thank her for her leadership. This sister has shown perseverance. She has shown that she is dedicated and committed to the upliftment, the inspiration, and the empowerment of our people. We're going to right now take one more look at this whole idea of Kwanzaa. For those of you who do not practice Kwanzaa, celebrating Kwanzaa, we want to talk a little about how people practice Kwanzaa, and you can be very creative in celebrating this holiday. A central place in your home for the Kwanzaa set, the symbols of Kwanzaa, should be chosen. Generally, people take a table or a fireplace mantle and spread them with beautiful pieces of African cloth, and keka, which is a mat, is placed down. And then there is the kanara. The kanara is not the same as used by Jewish religion. A kanara is a candle holder, and it has seven candles rather than the eight that is used in the Jewish tradition. And the candles are called the Mishuma Saba, seven candles, and they're placed in the kanara in a certain way. For those of you who would like to really be able to understand the concepts and the procedures and some of the processes and practices, you can go to our hyphentalk.name.com, and we have placed a wealth of information about this holiday. The colors of Kwanzaa are black, red, and green. Black for the people, red for their struggle, and green for the future and hope that comes from their struggle. In the kanara, there is one black candle, three red, and three green, and these are represent the seven principles. And then there is the crop, the mazayol, which are generally ears of corn or potatoes, and they're placed on the mat, at least two ears of corn. And then there's the unity cup. It's placed on the mat. It's used to pour tambiko, which is libation, to the ancestors in remembrance and honor of those who paved the path down which we walk. And my good sister and friend, Dr. Julia Hare, would say, for those who built the bridges that brought safely across, and thus those who taught us the good, the tamshi, the good, and the beautiful in life. And then we place objects of art. There's always a question. We'll take your questions. We'll be here tonight until 11 o'clock. You're listening to Our Common Ground, and this is the celebration of the Kwanzaa season, helping you understand the richness and fullness of the Nguza Saba, and hoping that we can bring the Nguza Saba to the concept of Nama. That is how we make these concepts live in our lives. How you make these concepts, the seven principles, live in your life. And then we're going to come back right from looking at libation. I want to take a moment to look at libation. And we'll be talking with our brother, Art Maritazan from Washington, D.C. He is a reparationist, and he and I are going to have a conversation as an invited guest about the issue, the concept of umoja, and why it's so important.
From whom all things come and to whom all things return, we honor the Creator, the Mother, and the Father of us all, and we say communally, Ashe.
Ashe.
We also want to honor those ancient ones, those first people that inhabited the planet, who we can call our first ancestors, those people who built great civilizations, those people who gave us all that we know in the form of architecture and music and all of the things that we call now parts of civilization, medicine, astronomy, all of those things that we hold dear as a part of civilization came from our ancestors, those first people, those people who built the pyramids, people like Imhotep, the father of medicine, all of those ancient ones. We say and we remember them and we say Ashe.
Ashe.
We also give thanks for those Africans who are part of our direct bloodline, those Africans who inhabited the west coast of Africa during the time at the beginning of the transatlantic slave trade, those Africans who were stolen, who were sold, who some of them, whose bones now line the Atlantic. It said if you could take all of the water out of the Atlantic, there would be bones from the west coast of Africa down through the Caribbean islands and up through the New World that we call America, forming a triangle of that slave trade. We honor those Africans, some of whom chose to die. We honor them by saying Ashe.
Ashe.
We also honor those Africans who chose to, those people whose names we can call from our family tree, and we can just say these in unison. Ashe.
Ashe.
For those children who have yet to come, those children who will come into this world, and we need to make sure that we have done our part to make this a better place for them to inhabit. To those unborn children, we say Ashe.
Ashe.
You're listening to Our Common Ground in celebration of the 2009 Kwanzaa season. Harambe, Habari Gani. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you for being with us.
And we really want to thank you for being with us here at Our Common Ground. We're going to go to our phones with our brother, Ari. Thank you so much, my brother, for being here with us tonight. At Our Common Ground in celebration of the new Kwanzaa season, and to talk about how we make live, how we prosper, and how we build our lives on the principles of the Nguza Saba. Thank you so much.
Habari Gani to you, Sister JV, Janice, Pete Graham.
How are you, Brother Ari?
I'm
so glad
fantastic.
To be with you.
I'm rooted in love with the love of our people. You know, we got to be African by on purpose. You know, we got to be clearly intentional in our living. And I just want to thank you. First of all, I just want to just do a minor correction. I was raised in D.C., did all my schooling in D.C., but I now live in Philadelphia. And so I just want to connect the two cities. And as I've had occupied some space and is known in the gates, as they say. But I want to thank you for lifting up the black candle, at least initiating your program with the black candle, because it's a very critical piece. It's more than about Kwanzaa, as you may well know by now. It's about who we were.
Yes.
It's about what happened to us. And it's about what we will have to do to get back to our glory, to become human again, because they took us out of, through that Holocaust of enslavement, took us out of the human family and made us property, chattel, as it's called. And so that is the context in which we must apply the Nguzu Saba. And I selected the day to call in because unity is so crucial, because the Nguzu Saba is unity. It takes more than one principle to unify and to make things happen. So with us as individuals, it must take more than one. We must link up with each other. And we got to do that not first by joining organization. All that's good because I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist of organizational development and also that lost science called community economic development. It's been buried by that prosperity talk and ministry that's flowing through our communities that really takes us away from ourselves, takes us away from our unity, and put us on that rugged road of individualism. So we've got to unbury that concept, and we got to do it in the concept of unity. And I mentioned that we don't have to be part of an organization. What we have to do is just understand what unity is and link up with another. You cannot engage in unity by yourself. You can't engage in unity later on. You got to engage in unity right now because your purpose on earth is to relate to one another, you know, and not to out-survive the other, but to relate to one another, to unify with one another. And so Umoja for me is very critical. In many, many ways, because it really becomes the crossroads solution to our human capital development problems, meaning that we have to put this understanding of unity, apply unity in our everyday lives. Just apply, you know, as I mentioned to you somewhere and maybe in some of our exchanges, that Umoja, unity, is like love. It's more than just saying so.
Yes.
You got to do something.
Yes.
You got
you
to show
to make
up.
It live.
You got to make it live. You know, you got to show up. You got to do something with it. If you're not manifesting love, if you're not manifesting unity, you ain't about no unity. It's just bottom line. And as Brother Dr. Marlon Coringa says, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, and by the way, Dr. Coringa will be in Philadelphia at the William Penn High School tomorrow.
Wow.
From 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Ujima. I mean, that's the day that he's on in terms of Kuju Shakalia.
Yes.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Absolutely. And about our self-determination because, again, all these principles of Kwanzaa pretty much arranges themselves connecting in Umoja. I mean, you got to do something with yourself to love one another. And you know that as he described it, he being Dr. Marlon Coringa, says to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Now, that's a critical path. You know, I teach several subjects, and I always come out with my students talking about the critical path. That means I take them I let them know where they're going to go, where they're going to end up in this class. Then we back out of that and do the type of discipline and study to get to that destination. So our destination is to begin again to return to one race. We've been flipped around and, you know, and twisted all around this diversity crapola, as I call it, this intellectual crapola called diversity, you know, and that's where we lose ourselves in addition to being taken out of being part of that Holocaust of enslavement. So we got to look at that. We always got to move and see that humans are part of one race and that we on the planet have always upheld that. Meaning that in our glory days, in the Songhai Empire days, in Timbuktu, it wasn't about race. It's a false construct. It's a construct that basically feeds capitalism. You know, so we got to get out of that understanding about race, black versus white. I mean, we are who we are. Just look in the mirror. No denying. And we're gonna spend all our time talking about that. Then we can do that too. But we got to begin to be human in the world again. That's what has happened to us. They took our humanity. They even took the divine right in our own property, right in our own mind, to even think in the context of our existence in America. Meaning that we didn't come over here on the Mayflower, okay? We came over here in chains, incarcerated, in the first prisons that we've ever experienced in the bowels of those slave ships. That's our context in America, the destruction of our civilization, the murder and rape of our women and men and children. You see, that's the context of our existence in America. So therefore, we must unify around that, because if we don't, there's nothing that we can grasp on that really reflects our reality. We got to stop playing those games with ourselves. And being black capitalists is not our reality. It's not our context. You see, so therefore, we got to play the context card as opposed to the race card. If we play the context card, that's our reality. The race card is the enemy's reality. They created that race card, and they control it. They know all the arguments. They control all the machinery of it. So, but however, they're trying to keep this divine, not the divine, but they're trying to keep this code of silence over around our context in America. And see, we got to break that code of silence. And that's the only way our healing will begin from that enslaving experience. So the unity we must come around, we all must got to acknowledge, one, our context. If we acknowledge our context, guess what? We're beginning to unify, because we're going to have to acknowledge the Holocaust of enslavement in America. We have to acknowledge all of that, what we've come through.
So what you're saying tonight is that as we begin to think deeply about our condition, our today's condition, all of the things that we criticize each other for, criticize our community for, all the things for which we have shame, the way that so many of our children have turned to violence, so many of our children have turned to destructive behavior, so many of our adults have turned their backs to our community, that when we think about recommitment to our community, we also have to rethink and re-examine who we are as a people.
Absolutely. I mean, we got to start there. We got to start in our context. Context means origin. That is, how did we get here in America, okay? We came through the bowels of those slave ships. So therefore, that's our context. That's our unifier. That's what we all have in common. And we got to get out of denial about it. And once we understand that, we accept our reality, then we can change it. You see, we can change it. And so you change it through everyone acknowledging that reality. Thereby, we're at least unified around one thing, right? Our reality. Umoja, it's our reality. And we can do that. And so it don't take a whole lot of rocket science to understand that. It just, one, we got to begin to really appreciate truly who we are and whose shoulders that we stand on. Honor them. You know, every year this time, my mother comes to my mind all the time, and I began to reflect this year mainly because of Brother Ray Wimbush did his book called Belinda's Appeal, and my mom became more vivid, because here, yes, you see, he clearly states that the whole machinery of capitalism came through the womb of black African women. You see? Because at one time, after they got a critical mass of us over here, it was more cost effective to breed us here as opposed to continue to engage in the transatlantic slave trade. And they bred our women. They bred us. Our mothers, 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 mothers. Our fathers, 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 fathers. You see, that's the connection. If we acknowledge that, we begin to unify. If we don't and start moving around all these other types of philosophical ways of thinking to try and make you feel good, it's not going to work. You see?
Let me ask you, Brother Ari, when you think about what is our perfect selves, when you think about what unity means for us, where is the door? Where is the door to begin this Kwanzaa season?
in terms of that, we have to say that we must heal ourselves. That suggests that we have been injured, and therefore the vulnerability, I always submit, the vulnerabilities that we see, as you so clearly named, in terms of the violence and the murders and the drugs and the current situation in our communities, all those come from out of the context of enslavement. And this is not making any excuses. There's reasons for why we as humans, black people in America as humans, in the condition that we're in. There's reason, no excuses, but there are reasons. Something happened to us. And once we acknowledge what happened to us, we can begin to heal ourselves, because those who injured us would not even take any type of health care towards helping us to heal ourselves based on that traumatic experience. We have to heal ourselves. So that's the door. The door, recognizing what happened to us. And if we do that, wherever we are, wherever our feet are planted, we begin to unify. It's called automatic pilot.
We've got another caller.
Sure.
Let's take a call, and then we're going to look at exactly where we are this Kwanzaa season on the critical issues that you've underlined about umoja. Good evening, Harambe, and welcome to Our Common Ground. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How you doing, Brother Ari?
I'm fine. Because you have your radio is up. I hear the feedback.
Okay, all right. Now, I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about the context card.
Okay.
And how important that is for Kwanzaa, because when we realize the context in which we come from, all the principles will come in line, and we
Absolutely.
Realize how important that they are as far as purpose, self-determination, unity.
Absolutely.
All of them will come into purpose because we realize that we actually need those things, because we know where we come from.
That's
and
right.
We know why those things would be so important, so that those things can't happen to us again. You know what I mean? We will integrate those principles into our daily life.
It's a matter of repair. It's like repairing ourselves with these values and these principles in order to become ourselves again. You know, as you well know, they took us out of the human family. They took us out of the human family and made us chattel property that we had no rights any other human was bound to respect.
Exactly.
So we had no sanctuary. Any other human could do anything they want to us.
And I also think that today, dealing with unity or umoja is something that's important, because like we were speaking about earlier, as far as our community, the distance between the elders and the youth is a gap now that you've probably never seen before. The
huge gap. Huge gap.
Is this Brother Thomas?
And women. I'm sorry?
Is this Brother Thomas?
No, my name's Sonny.
Oh, welcome, my brother.
This is Brother Hassani out of Philadelphia, I think.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
That's me, man. I heard you. I see your Facebook. I got right on, man. Make sure I heard the program. I heard what you had to say, because you always have some insightful. It's something relevant to say, so I always try and catch you if I see you on something like this, you know.
And Sister BJ and sisters and Brother Sonny, you know, it's time to let the healing begin.
Right.
Now, this is more than a notion. There's a way that you can do that. There's some little scientific steps you can take to make it happen. And the first step you take is come out of denial. All right, and then it's educating others in respect to who they are. And in doing it such a way that they you direct them towards ownership and or control of their economic development processes. You
right.
see, so they can develop as a people, as a unit. And so you don't have to have all these major buy black campaigns if you get people just begin to educate and understand who they are.
Exactly.
If you look at our context and where we come from, it'll like you said, we will need those campaigns, because we will realize how important it is for us to unify around these principles, because we would know that.
We have to begin by reaching one, teaching one, and insisting that we live by these principles in our family.
Absolutely.
And that they extend to whatever environment or societal issues that come our way, whether we're dealing with the politicians, whether we're dealing with the government, whether we're dealing with community organizing. If we don't have these principles embedded in how we think, we'll just keep getting what we're getting.
That's right. And Sister BJ and Brother Sonny, as you well know, that I'm involved with an institute here in Philadelphia called the Frater Horoo Institute. Although I'm clearly a reparation, and I serve as the Northeast Regional Representative for NCOBRA, and I can connect, you know, the Ngugu Saba with that as well. But I want to get to this point that, and one of the proverbs that we have at the Ngugu at the Frater Horoo Institute is that the ruin of a nation begins in the homes.
Right.
The ruin of a nation begins in the homes of our people. And what does that say to you, Sister BJ? That says that we have some individual responsibility ourselves to heal ourselves.
That's
and
right.
then
Build
we can
our
begin
homes.
That's right, in our homes. Mm-hmm. Heal our homes, and then we can develop community. That's why you cannot really put your arm around the quote-unquote black community anymore, because we are so disconnected in our homes, not knowing who we are. And being
exactly.
faced up with this mass media of all these negative images.
And I would further that to say we got to heal ourselves first.
Absolutely.
And then
exactly.
begin to heal our homes. Like, we got to
exactly.
deal with ourselves first and deal with the problems that we have. And then once we fix those problems that we have with internally on a personal tip, we can then extend those that healing toward the rest of the people in our homes, and then extend
exactly.
that healing toward our family and then toward our community. And then, you know, it's sort of popping, and we got a, you know, unified Africa, and, you know, I'll be able to rest.
One of the things that people really, especially in our audience, need to understand, that it is so urgent for us to begin to talk to each other and nurture each other. That is why Our Common Ground exists. There are some other programming. We'll listen to anybody. And when you begin to listen to anybody, you risk brain damage.
Right.
Brother,
right.
Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go and listen to exactly to some issues that come out of the documentary, The Black Candle, that speaks to the very important issues that you raised. And I hope that you'll stay connected with us, become our friend, go to our website and sign up so you can join us in all of our broadcasts.
Yes, ma'am.
And thanks so much
have
for your
a
call.
Wonderful, wonderful, enriching Kwanzaa season.
We're starting out good. Hotep.
Yes.
Hotep.
Hotep, my brother. Ari, we're going to listen to a clip and then come back and talk about Umoja some more.
You want me to hold on?
Yes.
All right.
It's a cultural crisis, and that's why I call it a cultural crisis more than an identity crisis, because black people know that's not them. They know that.
I've dealt with young people who don't know how great they are. They don't know that they're greatness because they are taught that they're somebody else. And when they do see images of themselves on television or in magazines, it's always in a degrading way or a disrespectful way or a dumbed-down way.
And that's the big problem. You see bad images repetitiously, but I don't think you see enough good images repetitiously.
And a lot of times we get confused because we are so bombarded with what the media thinks is black.
They show us as ignorant, disrespectful.
You don't see the people helping the community. You don't see us touring colleges to better ourselves.
And so we are fighting all the time about how to begin to change fundamental images and belief systems.
We don't have a sense of a cultural background. Like, it's not taught to us.
Why haven't you learned anything?
Get your lessons. That's what my mom kept stressing. I
tried to pay attention, but their classes weren't interesting. They seemed to only glorify the Europeans, claiming Africans were only 3/5 of human beings.
When I wrote this song, it was really me capturing my enthusiasm in that moment, you know, about all the history that I had never heard of, you know what I mean? I had never heard of Malcolm X and nothing like that.
The saddest thing is that we still have to struggle and fight to justify having African history and African American history be taught in the schools, in the public schools.
School teaches you about history and culture, but our school system teaches us mainly about the history and culture of Europe.
And when you don't have any sense of your own contextualization, you have very little idea of how to situate yourself.
Education needs to be stepped up more. Some things need to be less emphasized, and some new things need to be brought out into the open a little bit more. Because, you know, learning about, you know, Patrick Henry and John Adams and like that, it's cool, but, you know, it's...
Can you believe that? Not at all.
From the media to academia, hanging brothers like coats. That's why in they schools, I always take two sets of notes. One set to ace the test and the other set I call the truth. And when I find historical contradictions, I use the first set as proof. Proof that black youth's minds are being polluted, convoluted, diluted, not culturally rooted in anything except the Western massacre. And most of us, we are scared of Africa.
We've been taught to feel ashamed of our true, you know, our true byways and mores.
Yeah, Brother Ari, thank you for joining us tonight at the Our Common Ground Kwanzaa Celebration. Our number is 347-838-9852. We'd like to hear your thoughts about what you're going to do in this Kwanzaa season, how we are going to move forward, how we build new bridges. Brother Ari,
yes,
one of the things that if we look at what we have been robbed of because we don't have a unified or collective sense of our blackness, our Africanness, of our place as a community, what are some of the things that you see that where Umoja could act as a filler to and how people begin to extend themselves into a unified community?
If I understand you correctly, you know, for me, I will answer that by saying that Umoja is our crossroad solution to our human capital development as a people. The cuts that you played in the intermission of our conversation here, that clearly supported everything that we had previously talked about, didn't it?
Exactly.
You see, whether you planned it or not, it was perfect. It was a perfect segue into what we're now even talking about even now, and so it's key. It's not rocket science. It's not a whole lot of intellectual hooting and pooting that we have to do to try and reason this thing through. We just got to acknowledge fundamentally what happened to us mm-hmm. as a people, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, move towards repairing ourselves, taking the initial step to repair ourselves first, and then you move on those perpetual institutions that are still existing that enslaved us to have them to repay some reparations. Now, reparations is more than just a dollar bill, y'all. It's also education. It's also health care. It's also housing and land and repatriation. It's a lot of things that we need to be human in the world to take our rightful place. And so if we unify, as we did in 1963 with the millions that came to the March on Washington, we came from all walks of life.
Yes, we did.
And we weren't part of necessarily any organization. We just knew that justice had to be done, and we had to come there to be recognized.
Exactly.
So wherever you go, I'm sorry, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a call. We have a caller from 301. Harambe.
Barzotti.
And thank you for calling.
Yeah.
From 301. What is your name, please?
Yes, Merlin.
This is Barbara Arnwine calling.
Hey,
how are
Barbara,
you doing?
Barbara Arnwine.
DJ, you don't know, you really connected me with one of my strongest sisters I've seen in at least 30 years. But, you know, I've always felt her spirit. I always heard about her work, and she is Barbara Arnwine as ever. Haven't changed, still on the front line.
The executive director of the, Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. And the justice voice has come on this first night of Kwanzaa. Thank you,
my sister Hotep,
and Harambe to you.
Harambe.
We're talking about Umoja and this critical need to become a collective unit, to embrace each other, to nurture each other, in repairing each other. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, it's so important. You know, Umoja is the foundational principle, of course, of Kwanzaa, and that's because you can't have anything else without unity.
That's right.
And it starts and it feeds every other principle, and it upholds all the other seven principles. And I think it's really significant that Umoja is about unity in the family first, community, the nation, and the race.
My.
And that's something we got to really focus on, that it's all four of those sectors. And that, you know, if you don't have unity in the family, then it's very hard to go out and preach unity in the community. And if you don't have unity in the community, it's very hard to build community in the nation. And if you don't have unity in the nation, then how do you advocate for our African diaspora?
Come on. So
it's so important to, you know, to really focus on unity. And what I love about the principle of Umoja is that it says to strive for.
That's right.
And maintain. So it recognizes that unity is not something that magically happens and is always there. That you have to strive for it. You have to actively engage and actively fight for it each and every day. And I think that's such an important principle. If we understood that, if we embraced it, if we made that the basis of our work, that it really would change the way that we would relate to each other. And I think it's just one of the most, you know, critical aspects of, you know, of Kwanzaa, and I just love it. And Kwanzaa is my favorite time of the year.
Absolutely.
It certainly is my favorite time of the year, Barbara. And one of the things that when you're talking, and I'm getting goosebumps, but when we talk about Umoja,
yes,
and making it live in our lives,
yes,
I think that then struggle becomes a part of our fabric.
Yes.
It becomes a part of who we are, which is why it is so important to teach children at this time of year that whatever is worth having is worth working for.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
And that not only applies to the individual, it applies to family and community, and to this nation, and especially to our race.
Yes.
It's about practice, Sister BJ.
And
we can do, you know, again, just like love, you can actually break love down to a practice, can't we? I mean, you know, because it takes more than just saying I love you. It takes more than saying that we are unified or we must live in unity. It's a certain step that you have to take. It's all about doing. And first of all, you got to mend fences with your neighbor. Put the neighbor back in the hood, you see? Other than that, that place that they are living in is just a place. It's no longer a neighbor. We got to be good with your neighbor. You got to go out and speak to them. You got to do these basic things, showing respect for yourself and respect for others. Those are the fundamental steps that you need to start taking in such a way, and you do it in the context of your understanding of your context in America. And our context in America is not like the immigrant context in America. You see? And so we, as Barbara, if we acknowledge our context, which it was through the Holocaust of enslavement, just that acknowledgement worldwide, we began to be unified. That's the first step of being mm-hmm. in unity.
Mm-hmm. And if I think that I am responsible for my brothers and sisters yes. in Tanzania and Los Angeles and Seattle, then I become more responsible for myself.
Absolutely. You should.
And one thing that is very important in Umoja is the principle of oneness, you know, is recognizing that, you know, once we look at each other and believe that our destinies are intertwined, that it is interwoven, that it is interdependent, then it changes everything. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the most tragic realities for African Americans is that, you know, meism that has seeped, you know, so deeply into so many of
mm-hmm.
our people. And that concept is, you know, if I'm doing all right, mine is doing all right,
it is.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else
that is
doing, how they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and that will destroy a community. Because,
yes.
you know, only when you look at someone and you say, that could be my grandmother, that could be my brother, that could be my sister, that is my mother, that is my sister, that is my brother, then it changes your entire perspective. And
mm-hmm.
you don't want to harm. You don't want to do wrong. You want to do right. You want to work together. You want to see them prosper like you're prospering. You want to, you know, raise everybody up. And that's what we have to be about as a people. And
mm-hmm.
until we get there, you know, we have work to do. And I love Kwanzaa because it's a principal time to come together and remind ourselves of this incredible work and to celebrate it. You know, when I celebrate Umoja, today, because we're about to do our big family Kwanzaa in my house. But when we celebrate it, one of the things we will celebrate is the Umoja that African Americans did in putting, President Obama in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because it was our votes that were determinative.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our work, our, you know, fighting together, our pushing, our belief, our faith. Those are the reasons why, you know, we will talk about that, and we will talk about all the other things that we've done as a family to make it through, and we'll talk about what we've done in the community, what we've done in the nation, what we've done for the race. And I think that those are the things that we have to challenge ourselves with. So I hope that, you know, as everybody celebrates Umoja tonight, as we say Habari Gani, as we respond Umoja, as we talk about the principle, and as we look forward to the next, you know, six nights, that we will, you know, ground ourselves in this, you know, this attitude of, you know, positivity and this attitude of potentiality and this really, really great belief in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that makes this Kwanzaa season
yes.
So powerful is that we are all aware that we are living in a world which is ravished and ruined by war.
Yes.
Our politics and our communities are defined by division. Our people are under a kind of oppression that we have not seen in our country in since the time of our freedom. And we are living through the harshness of forms of greed and hatred and hostility. So the principle of Umoja invites an alternative sense of solidarity for us. And here again, as a people, we bring it to our nation.
Yes.
The possibility, the capacity to have a peaceful togetherness and to enter into the common ground of our humanity.
Yes.
And that makes the Kwanzaa season of 2009 for me so very important.
Well, you exemplified the principle,
absolutely.
And I just love, you know, how you teach and how you take each and every day to, you know, to really exemplify and to just, you know, actualize the principles in your life and in all of our lives. So I just want to commend you. I want to just say
thank you, Barbara.
You know, once again, Moses to everybody, and I'm going to go and get my family's celebration.
Well,
Barbara, I'm gonna follow up with this conversation. We got to reconnect on some justice issues, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
In fact,
ASAP.
I'm calling it the second resurrection of Encobra.
All right now.
Okay. It's the second resurrection.
All right now.
Come
at I'm
you.
Saying all right now too.
I heard you
calling for those reparations. I said, oh yes, and that's
absolutely
one reason why, you know, people. You know, when folks are sitting down saying, what can I do? Well, how can I make a difference? You know, one of the things I want all African people to do is to look at the U.S. and how we're treating Africa.
Come
What's our Africa policy?
Thank you.
You know, where's the money that's going into, you know, development in the Caribbean, to Haiti, to, you know, our nations that are crying out? What are we doing, you know, to make sure that, you know, Africa has the resources that it deserves, that we, you know, that the Western nations, you know, raped and stole? I mean, we have to be about, you know, more than just, you know, sitting back and saying, kicking it. We got to be about real advocacy and
That's
real
right.
work. So I'm
Sister
hoping
Barbara.
That we'll do that, you know, in this year to come.
Sister Barbara,
well,
Sister Barbara Arnwine,
thank you for every breath that you have taken.
You are such an inspiration. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Sister.
Umoja.
Harambe.
Harambe. Bye-bye.
Barbara Arnwine, Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. She has been a guest at Our Common Ground numerous times, and we thank her for her work, and we wish she and her community all the best during this Kwanzaa season. That was a very good.
That was a reunion.
Yeah, that really was.
We did some work together in D.C. together. I used to manage the law firm at Antioch School of Law in D.C.
And
around the time that she was also practicing.
You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. We're celebrating Kwanzaa and looking at how we make flesh the word Umoja, the concept of the first night of the celebration of the 7 days of Kwanzaa. And with us is Brother Ari from Philadelphia. We invite your calls at 347-838-9852. I'm Janice Graham, wishing you and the world to be filled with the divine of the Kwanzaa season. We're going to take a little break right now, Brother Ari. When we come back, we'll take more calls from our audience.
I have 15 more minutes.
Okay, and we want to thank you for joining us.
You're listening to Our Common Ground in celebration of the 2009 Kwanzaa season. Harambe. Habari Ghani. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you for being with us.
Claim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one, that while we breathe we hope, and where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
And thank you for being here at Our Common Ground. We're celebrating Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa was conceived, created, and introduced to the African community as an audacious act of self-determination, a cultural creation that is rooted in and rose out of the wish of a people and the will of a people who saw its message deep in meaning, world-encompassing in reach, and highly relevant in addressing critical issues. Brother Ari is my co-host just for 15 more minutes. We will take your calls at 347-838-9852. And I join him in saying to you, Harambe,
yes,
Habari Gani Umoja. Brother Ari, I just, you know, I'm like, I feel these 7 days with trying to impart the divine, the purpose, the embodiment of what the seven principles are. And, you know, sometimes I can get pretty tough on this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has been a real craw for me this year in the year of Umoja has been the idea that as a people, when we begin to deal with the many, many critical issues that face our communities and our families, the assault that we somehow confuse the notion of critical analysis of those issues with a blame.
I see you.
And I think that if we really understood this notion of oneness, as Barbara Anwan just called it, a oneness, a togetherness, to striving to maintain our families, our communities, that we would have a clearer understanding of how to analyze all of these things. You know,
right.
This whole call for black boys, you know, like as though this is going to be a panacea and it's going to be a cure for what's wrong with black men and black boys, pull up your pants. Well, that's not a cure.
No, not at all. It's not at all, you know, it's cosmetic stuff. It's again, it's distractions, and it doesn't get to the core of where people begin to change behavior and change and bring on new values. And you do that through teaching them about themselves. There are several studies out here show that anytime that you teach a person about themselves, the quality developments of their race and themselves, then they aspire to the highest point of that education, you know, of that sharing. They begin to see what's possible. And so oftentimes now, because we have failed to acknowledge what happened to us, we look for different ways to rationalize and analyze things. And we're still doing the contrasting and comparison based on our context. We try to find out, and we try to look towards analyzing things as if we was at the same starting line as everybody else. And therefore, what's wrong with us? The question begins to surface. You know, and so there's not so much what's wrong with us. What happened to us is the question. And so that's why I've initiated this Let the Healing Begin project. This is where we go into these historical societies all along the East Coast from Maryland to Maine and begin to attempt to reframe the findings, the narrative findings of the concept of the Holocaust of enslavement on our people. That is, that these historical societies like Brown University, Wall Street, a lot of the historical societies have a lot of information about what happened to us. And they leaked it out from time to time. Well, in that leaking, we got to reframe that leaking because they have twisted the story. They have moved the facts and circumstances of what happened to us around and in a way that does not make a lot of sense to us. It's just topical. And so this project, and Dr. Ray Wimbush will join me in this project as well, And we're going to go into, we start here in Philadelphia at the Cliveden House, where this the so-called Chu family, which who was Benjamin Chu in Pennsylvania, was the first, was the Supreme Court, was the Chief Supreme Court Justice of Pennsylvania. And he owned thousands and hundreds of slaves in Maryland and Delaware. And so now we're they released these papers, but they're talking to us as if we were never Africans. As they give us no humanity. So Dr. Wimbush and I, we're going to go in and we're going to reframe those findings. We're going to rewrite the tour guides to bring to life the humanity in our ancestors. And we're going to try and do that all up the East Coast. We got 8 cities that we're going to try and work with. And hopefully I'll be able to give you some more hard facts about when we come to Boston in the Massachusetts, state of Massachusetts, exactly when we'll be getting there, going there, and how you we'd like for you to work with us.
Well, you know, Ray Wimbush has been a frequent guest on this show and has been a friend of mine for almost 20 years.
All right. Absolutely.
So he knows that I'm on the list. I'm already on the bus.
All right. All right, well, we're gonna practice this thing called mojo in our occupations, in the work that we do. You see, we got to take it. We got to, that's how you make it come alive.
Mm-hmm.
You work with each other around a common cause. What better common cause, common ground,
exactly,
is than the context, mm-hmm, the legacy of our people?
Yep. You know, and we need to really start working with the concept of collaboratives and partnerships with our organizations.
But you
the
know,
Urban
we,
League,
we do.
NAACP.
But
yes,
they got it twisted. Many of these times don't understand what collaboration
exactly
is. They think it's
exactly
like cooperation and coordination. It's more than cooperating with each other. It's more than coordinating events for each other. Collaboration, essentially, my dear, is that when two or more entities come together to do something that neither one could do alone.
Yes.
You know, so if you look at the symbol for water, H2O, without hydrogen and without oxygen, there could be no water. So therefore, that's the demystified understanding of collaboration. So when you talk about collaboration, you got to talk about the roles of each entity in that collaboration. What are your roles? What would you bring out? What would be the outcomes of your actions? What resources do you bring to the table? Everybody start off on the same footing. No matter what level the differences in the resources, you got to start off as equals. I'm not coming to collaborate in NAACP just because they have more resources than I do. We're coming together to do something for our people that we have yet to do by ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that's what we're trying to move this piece and this collaborative piece that called the Let the Healing Begin is a collaborative piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some commitments from the National Trust for Historical Preservation to join in this collaboration to bring humanity to our ancestors within these historical findings at these various historical societies along the East Coast.
That's wonderful, Brother Ari, and I really look forward to doing just a broadcast about that once you have it all together, and I'll
February
talk with
be the
Dr.
Kickoff.
February will be the kickoff. Well,
yes,
we're going to be doing our annual Black History broadcast for Black History Month. You know, you don't know the background. We are all refugees from a network that failed. We once broadcast Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., so we're trying to find a home,
okay,
and once we do, we'll be on a regular broadcast schedule. But I really do thank you so much
for being
with us, and I hope that you have a joyous, rewarding Kwanzaa.
I just stepped out of a Mojo celebration to get on this
call.
Yeah,
I just came back from one, and as a matter of fact, I had to leave my family at the celebration.
Let me give tribute to you, though, sister, because we connected digitally in the ether world, I think we made our connection. We didn't know of each other, okay? And but when you said that our pain and suffering as a people is rooted in the disconnect, and I'm saying, and when I read that, you know, I applied it to my understanding. And I understand the mind that, yes, our pain and suffering is rooted in our context, and we're disconnected from our context in America.
Context. Exactly.
You see? And that's why we have so much pain, because we have not connected to that. You know, the Jews have connected to their pain.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
They're connected to the Holocaust. They show it. They talk about it. They do it. All, they set up all types of organizations that reflect that and always keep it in front of them. But, see, we're disconnected from that. And once we reconnect to our reality and our context in America, Sister, my dear, your words. In fact, what I've done with those words, and I think I asked you for permission, I've attached them to my signature page on my email. And I gave attributes.
Such an honor.
The attribute is to B.J. Janice Peake Graham, December 2009. Our pain and suffering as a people is rooted in the disconnect. I pay homage to you, sister. You continue your deep thought. You continue your deep practice and love for your people.
Thank you, my brother, and Hotep to you.
Hotep, enjoy your evening.
And I look forward to the love that we'll carry forth for our people.
We shall.
We shall. Thank you.
Harambe.
Harambe. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. Our number is 347-838-9852. Our lines are open to you to talk about your thoughts about Kwanzaa, celebrating Kwanzaa, the concept of the Nguza Saba, Umoja, Kuja Jakalia, Ujima, Ujama, Nia, Kuumba, and Imani. Thank you for being with us tonight. And we'll take your calls at 347-838-9852. How are you celebrating Kwanzaa? Are you celebrating Kwanzaa? What is your understanding about what it means to celebrate Kwanzaa and any special things you're doing during the Kwanzaa season? I'm Janice Graham at Our Common Ground. We'll be right back.
The longest march can be won, can be won. Many stones to form an arch, singly none, and by union what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water none.
Kwanzaa is a Pan-African and African-American holiday that is a celebration of family, community, and culture. It is often organized around seven fundamental principles, and is a seven-day holiday that begins from December the 26th and goes through January 1st. And it's 7 days to, in fact, teach the seven principles, okay, which are in Swahili and then in English: Umoja, unity; Kuja Jakalia, self-determination; Ujima, collective work and responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics; Nia, purpose; Kuumba, creativity; and Imani, faith. And so I created Kwanzaa for three basic reasons. First, to reaffirm our rootedness in African culture. Because even though we are African people, due to the Holocaust of enslavement, we were lifted out of our own history and made a footnote and forgotten casualty in European history. And so the struggle we were waging, as Cabral said, is to return to our history and to use it to enrich and expand our lives. Secondly, I created Kwanzaa in order to give us a time when we as African people all over the world could come together, reaffirm the bonds between us, and meditate on the meaning and awesome responsibility of being African in the world. And certainly it has flowered because of that, because if you look at how it has grown, over 28 million people celebrate this holiday on every continent in the world, throughout the world African community. And the third reason I created Kwanzaa was to introduce and reinforce the importance of African culture and African community and values, And by communitarian values, I mean values that stress and strengthen family, community, and culture. These are our strength. And at the hub and hinge on which this holiday turns, of course, and the central values are Benguzo Saba, which we said earlier are Umoja Unity, Kujichagulia Self-Determination, Ujima Collective Work and Responsibility, Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, Nia Purpose, Kumba Creativity.
Step by step the
long step by step the long
be won, and by union what we win can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill, singly none.
You're listening to Our Common Ground in celebration of the 2009 Kwanzaa season. Harambe, Habari Gani. I'm Janice Grant. Thank you for being with us.
And thank you very much for being with us here tonight at Our Common Ground. We're going to go right to our phone, 773. Thank you for joining us tonight at our Kwanzaa celebration for 2007. Please tell me who you are, Harambe.
Harambe. Janice, this is Alpha. I've been trying to get in since the show started.
Oh, poor baby.
I've gone to the default player and everything, and then it begins to stop and start. I've heard some of what you've said of what's gone on this evening. But I can't get into talk show to start that. I can't get into anything. And I just called. I shut down everything, and I called just so I could listen to the program, because so far what I've heard is, you know, it's been very enlightening as far as the celebration of Kwanzaa. If I could simply just listen.
You certainly
point.
Can. There is no, you know, I love having you with. Let me ask you a question, Alvo. Do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
Well, not really. And when I say not really, I simply say it's been a void of information. It's been simply by coming to U.S. Talk Network and then getting the connection with yourself and others that I've begun to acknowledge it more. And that's simply with, you know, a better understanding, having gotten a better understanding of it. And
mm-hmm.
I think that that's where we as a people fall short. That is not in the interest. People may have an advocacy for their culture, but they don't have a clue, and I fall into that category. They don't have a clue. And then when you begin to speak some of the language that is within the, you know, within the confines of explaining, that a lot of people will lose disconnect with it. And
mm-hmm.
Stephen Charles had posted that the people who celebrate Kwanzaa, the number of people who celebrate it, are dropping. And I simply pointed out that was a generational situation where the generation has, you know, the gap between those who are trying to teach and those who are willing to learn is growing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not so much of a lack of someone being an advocate for celebrating Kwanzaa. It's there's a lack of people willing to participate or even willing to acknowledge.
Well, I'm not even sure if there is such a thing where there are polls being taken about who's celebrating Kwanzaa. I've been celebrating Kwanzaa since somewhere around 1967. And Kwanzaa was established in 1966. And nobody has ever asked me whether I celebrate Kwanzaa or not. I know very few people in my circle of friends and African-American colleagues that do not celebrate Kwanzaa. to go over some of the stuff that that you might have missed at the beginning of the show, Kwanzaa is an African-American and Pan-African holiday, which simply celebrates family, community, and culture. I mean, we were a people who were lifted out of our history. So we set aside this time to meditate on who we are, where we've been, where we came from, what our genocide, our oppression, and our struggle has meant, and what it means today. And what we try to do is to reinforce our connection to our ancient Africanness, to our contemporary Africanness, and to our American Africanness in the concept of family and culture, and build our sense of dignity and connectedness. Now, Kwanzaa was established in 1966. We heard from the founder of Kwanzaa, Dr. Malana Kuringa, and it was found in the midst of the Black Freedom Movement and reflects the concerns for having a grounding in culture, in thought and practice, and the unity and self-determination that was associated with the Black Freedom Movement. Alpha, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to go to a call from 405. You're on the air. I respect you. Borigani and Harambe. Habarigani. Please
Hello.
Give us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Don.
Don Harambe.
Harambe, what I had to do, I had to get my other phone. I had the one I usually call in. I couldn't get you, and we just had problems, just like Alpha. But at least
really?
Yeah.
Well, a Block Talk Radio must be having a real server problem.
Well,
tonight.
I don't know why I can get you on this line and not on my other phone, you know, because both of them are come from the same service provider. However, you know, I'm in the chat room and I can get in there. But
uh-huh.
I wanted just to commend you for the your guest. You know, we here in Oklahoma, some people do celebrate Kwanzaa. However, it's taken a diminished, seat here in our community as to heretofore. You know, in prior years, we used to, some of the churches used to get together and put on some type of an event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we do have a substantial Black population.
Mm-hmm.
See,
Don, that's what I'm talking about. One of the concerns that I was on a national committee for Kwanzaa back in the 1970s is that Kwanzaa really isn't an event. It is a celebration where there are events. But Kwanzaa really is embracing ourselves. I mean, if nothing else, I hope that people get to study, and you can go on my Ning site, ourcommonground-talk.ning.com, because I've placed all the resources to study what Kwanzaa is all about.
I understand Kwanzaa. I don't celebrate it personally. Because it's really, you know, I mean, I'm just here, you know. And
you talk Kwanzaa every day.
Yeah, right.
We get that, Don.
Yeah, I've got to live Kwanzaa. However, the guests that you've had on, you know, I put the sister's website up, and, you know.
Oh, Barbara Arnwine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had about 7 or 8 years ago, I did attend Barbara's family's Kwanzaa celebration.
Mm-hmm. But see, you all are a lot more involved in the cities to where you're more together, and more progressive than we are out here in the urban areas. In Oklahoma, this type of thing.
Following this broadcast, I will be doing at Talk Shoe a Kwanzaa teach-in.
Right.
I hope you'll join us.
Right.
I don't know what's wrong with your computers tonight.
I don't know. You know, it's just kind of eerie that, you know, those of us who are regulars here and want to listen and contribute, because the brothers especially had insight into some things that I wanted to expound upon and wanted to get a hookup with him, because, you know, we need to hook up with one another. But that's how
yes.
we're going to stretch,
yes.
and that's yep. how we're going to reinstill in our youth, you know, what's going on. Because, see, I point the finger somewhat, well, not point, but I lay responsibility at our feet, too, because those of us who are elders, we have tended to give our children everything that we possibly didn't have when we were younger, and when we were coming through the throes of life. And as a result of that, I think we sort of spoiled them to the extent that they are, like the scriptures say, they are wiser yet weaker. And they're not as strong-minded. They're not as involved. They're not attuned to the present situation that as it pertains to living in this world and having the skin like we have.
They
tend to have associated with their friends. They now have white friends, and they now commingle in different Section 8 homes, putting people in different areas of the city, splitting us up, and therefore they get a false impression as to the state of affairs that we really live in.
Well, Don, when I hear you talking every day on the India Declare show, and anytime I follow you in the chat room and talk with you on Talk Shoe, and when you join us on this broadcast, I am reminded that you very much embody the spirit of two of the really important principles of the Nguza Saba. One is Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to attempt to solve them together. And then there's another that you always bring up for me, and that is Ujamaa, which is the fourth day of Kwanzaa, cooperative economics, building and maintaining our own stores, our shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together.
Yes.
So you don't have to do any event or go to any event. You are living the Nguza Saba.
Yes, we had a business here, and the business was something that no one of my color was in. I never even thought about getting in. Most of my clientele were not looking like us. I had my land, took a corner, I took a piece of it, and I put together the business and cleared the land, put up the building, and broke into a cultural business that involved me intermingling with Italians and people who were stone makers. Going to different places in the country, different trade shows, Missouri, Kansas, St. Louis, were some of the contacts that we were involved with. And we, at first, they looked at us a little skeptical. However, we were determined to start small, which is what we did, and to be very professional in the way that we ran our business, to the extent that when the people came in our driveway, they thought that we worked for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Those that didn't know us, you know what I mean? The ones that didn't get personally to know us. So,
so we
served the community with our product, and we really had no problems. And I got first count on the money, and the money was good. Got out of it because it was a physical type business, and at this stage in life, you know, I'm not into that. And our children, instead of passing on the business, they became interested in their own college activities, their own paths in life, and that's what happens to it. When you want to try to pass something on to them, especially if it involves a little manual labor. Now, these kids are not too excited about getting their hands dirty to a certain extent. However, they also have their own ideas, and they want to run their lives the way they see fit, not necessarily the way mom and pop wants to hand down to them until they hit that brick wall. You see? And then it may be too late.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one of the things that I think that our people really need to embrace the Nguza Saba, because it teaches you dignity in wisdom and experience in age. It teaches you how to divide the doers from the talkers. Don, I've got to go because I don't want to get blogmatized here tonight. but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Harambe Aborigani. And that was Don from Oklahoma, who is one of the faithful here at Our Common Ground and has followed us from ustalknetwork.com. Before we start wrapping our celebration up, I do want to say if you come to talkshoe.com, we're going to be doing a 1.5-hour teach-in on the seven principles. And to thank you for celebrating with us the first fruit celebration as they were recorded in African history as far back as ancient Egypt and Nubia and appear in ancient and modern times in other classical African civilizations. It is really important to me that this audience, because I speak from the spirit of Kwanzaa, I think from the spirit of Kwanzaa. You should come to the celebration of Kwanzaa with a profound respect for its values, symbols, and practices, and do not allow commerce, greed, to violate its integrity, beauty, and expansive meaning. And secondly, be very careful that you should not mix the Kwanzaa holiday or its symbols, its values or practices with any other culture. This would violate the principles of Kujichagulia, self-determination, and thus violate the integrity of the holiday. The Nguza Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, are umoja, which means unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and in the race. Kujichagulia, which means self-determination, and it will be celebrated tomorrow night. It is the second day of Kwanzaa, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. The third day of Kwanzaa, we celebrate Ujima. Collective work and responsibility is what that word means. To build and maintain our community together, and make our brothers' and our sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. The fourth day of Kwanzaa is a celebration of Ujamaa. Excuse me. Ujamaa means cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, our own shops, our own businesses, and to profit from them together. The fifth day of Kwanzaa is the day of Nia. The word means purpose. To make our collective vocation, the building and developing of our community, in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. On the sixth day, during the Kwanzaa season, we celebrate Kuumba, which means creativity. To do always as much as we can, in the way that we can, in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than when we inherited it. And on the final day of Kwanzaa, we celebrate Imani. It means faith. To believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness of victory of all our struggle. I'm Janice Graham, and at Our Common Ground, we extend to you that you and your family and your community and the world be filled with divine purpose and renewed heart for peace and spiritual prosperity. We wish you a year filled with enough and the spirit of the true meaning of the Nguza Saba. I am so grateful tonight, and I want to extend my libation to be grateful, reconstituted, renewed and inspired by my ancestors. I call Gladys Burrington. I call Leah and Elijah. I call the Peaks, the Grahams, the Madres, and the Pedrodos. All of the ancestors that have built the way. I call on the slaves who decided to live. I call on the slaves who we will find from the west coast of Africa to the shores of America. And I say, Ashe, Ashe-O. I'm so grateful for all the blessings bestowed upon me, which includes the Our Common Ground family, and I await a wonderful, loving, and renewal of spirit going forth. Harambe, celebrate Kwanzaa. Thank you for being with us. We're so glad to have had you with us. Umoja!
Umoja!
Claim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one, that while we breathe we hope, and where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.